Take your Bibles and go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Well, I'm sharing on today on dwelling on God's word, obviously. Today we're going to establish the kinds of words we're to dwell on, and we're going to look at how it takes time and it takes effort to dwell on God's word, and it's worth it. So in 2 Timothy chapter 1, did I say chapter 2? You know how you ever teach and you practice your teaching? I kept saying 2 Timothy chapter 2, and I'm like, oh, I don't want to say that. Okay, I'm not there. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Sorry, guys. Who's there?
I am.
Of course, Elkie. Let me get there, too. Chapter 1, verse 7. Can you read that, please, Elkie?
Yes.
2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.
God has not given us the spirit of fear. God wants us to have a sound mind. God wants us to have whole thoughts. And God wants us, our brains were meant to hold God's word. Our brains weren't meant to hold on to anxieties, to hold on to fears, to hold on to negatives. Our brains were meant to hold God's word, hold thoughts, wonderful, beautiful thoughts of God, not the stuff that we see out in the world. 2 Timothy chapter 1, we're going to go to 13. It says here, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. So in order for our brains to hold the word, we physically have to look at God's word and put it on in our brains. We read it and we hold on to it. We think about it. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 4. So we're just establishing the kinds of words we're to hold on to. And I love that Bob had you guys think about an area of your life that you want to see deliverance in, or you want to see, I don't know, prosperity and just a thing. And I want you to still hold on to that while I go through this teaching. Because I was going to do that, and he copied me. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Go to Psalm 107. So God's word is quick and powerful. Psalm 107. So far, what we've seen, it's a good word, right? So Psalm, you guys are here?
Yeah.
All right. I was like, what happened? Psalm 107. Jan asked me if I was nervous before I taught, and I was. And then when I got here, I was like, oh, it's just my family. I can mess up and they'll still love me. Psalm 107, verse 20. It says, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. God sent his word. That's what he sent so that we can get deliverance. He could have sent anything. He could have figured it out anyway. But what he sent was his word. And the word that we have is what we need to put on in our brains and hold on to so that we can have sound thoughts. Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55. Oh my gosh. I'm in Jeremiah. Verse 11. Ready? So shall my words be that goeth forth out of my mouth, and it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing there whereto I sent it. God's word will come to pass because he will bring it to pass, because it says here, look, so shall my words be that goeth forth out of my mouth, and it shall not return unto me void. It's going to accomplish what it's supposed to, because it's not up to us. It's God's word. He'll make it do what it's supposed to do. Okay, so when it comes to God's word, to the word of God in our lives, There are no substitutions, right? You guys know that I love to cook and I love to bake. And when sometimes when you're baking, you run out of stuff. If you're in the middle of a recipe, say you run out of brown sugar, you can easily make a substitute. You take regular white sugar, you put a tablespoon of molasses, you got brown sugar. You want to make a cake, you run out of cake flour, got all-purpose flour, take 2 tablespoons out, and you replace it with cornstarch. You got cake flour. If you need to use buttermilk, you run out of it, and you have regular milk, put a teaspoon of apple cider vinegar or lemon, you got buttermilk. And your recipe will be just fine. Not when it comes to the word. Not at all. There are no substitutes at all whatsoever when it comes to God's word. You can't expect to use something other than God's word and see the same results. It just does not work. Listen to this statement. There has never been and there will never be another book that has a word that's alive. There has never been and there will never be another book like God's word, because these words are actually alive. So you can't substitute the word of God for things that look very close or very similar and expect the results that come from putting on God's word. It just doesn't work. There are many things in our lives that we can skimp on. We go to ShopRite and get paper towels. Does it really matter if it's Scott or the brand of ShopRite? No. If you, Lisa's face, maybe you can't do that. Maybe you can't do that. All right, a bag of chips. I know we all have our specific brand that we like, but you could still eat it, right? And it's a chip. Not when it comes to God's word. Nothing comes close to the purity that is in God's word. You can't. You can go for a hike. You can do yoga. All that stuff is great, but it's not God's word, and it doesn't bring true deliverance. All right, let's go to Proverbs chapter 4. You know, there are many good books out there. There's books on raising kids. There's self-care books, which if you read them, bless your heart. There are books about being anxious, right? Well, I know I told you to go somewhere, but Madi, can you go to 1 Timothy chapter 4 for me, verse 16? And Matt, can you go to Ephesians chapter 6 for me? The word of God pertains unto life and godliness. It has everything that you need. It has all the answers that you need. The books that are out there that come close, that's nice, but it's not the word of God. You can read it, Madi.
Okay. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee.
Self-care book. Take heed unto the word. You need help? You need to have a self-care day? Spend some time in the word. There is nothing wrong with going to a spa. There is nothing wrong with going for a hike and going out camping and all that stuff. All that stuff is wonderful, but it doesn't replace the word of God. The word of God is what it heals you. And you need to take heed to yourself. You need to take care of yourself with the word of God. Nothing can replace that. Matt, can you read Ephesians 6:4? Yeah.
Ephesians 6:4. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord.
You need advice to raise your kids. You want to read a book about raising your kids? Read the word. It tells you how to raise your kids very clearly. And then we're going to go to Philippians chapter 4. Are you anxious? I know that none of us are perfect. There are moments and there are situations that we get anxious in. And, you know, it happens. If it didn't happen, this verse would not be in the Bible. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Be careful for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. You have anxiety in your life? This is the most anxious our nation's been. Well, you have an answer right here. You don't friggin' need to go to Barnes & Noble's to pick up a book to tell you. You have one verse here that covers it for you. The Word of God is worth our time. Our thoughts should be the thoughts that are in God's Word. We need to take the time and let the Word of God seep deep, deep, deep so that it gets to our heart. Have you guys ever used castor oil? You know how it's really, really thick? And if you are going to do like a little bandage thing, you have to put the castor oil and like walk away because it takes forever for it to seep into the cloth. The Word of God, you put it on in your brain and it takes time, but you need to keep putting it on and putting it on and putting it on so that it can seep all the way down into your heart. And then you have a nice little reserve of God's Word to pull from so that when situations come up, what does God's Word say? It's here. It's in my heart. You're not scrambling and waiting for your first reaction to be the first, like 5 cents knowledge-wise, and then decide to do something spiritual. You need to have the Word of God in your heart so that you have something to pull from. Proverbs, are you guys still there? Awesome. Proverbs chapter 4. So don't forget, there's nothing can replace the Word of God. There's no other book out there that has words that are alive, words that are powerful, words that are healing, a healing balm to the areas of your life that ail you. That's what the Word of God is. Chapter 4, verse 20. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. You see those verses, how deep that is? It's a big deal. You might not like this statement, but I'm going to say it anyway. The conditions that we are in right now, mentally, we're responsible. We're responsible for the conditions that we are, the condition that we are in right now mentally. We can try to blame other people. We can blame our past. We can blame our surroundings. But we are fully equipped to heal our brains and our hearts. We have the most powerful word and we have the most powerful being in our lives. The proverb says to attend unto my word, not your thoughts, not your feelings, and not your words, but God's words. It's health, it's medicine, it's healing. We need to finally let God in our lives and accept the deliverance that's available with his word. If we want good stuff in our lives, we have to put the word on. Colossians chapter 3. So if you don't like the way you are, then change. It's really that simple. It takes work, obviously. But if you don't like that you're an anxious person, well, you need to put on the Word of God. What does the Word of God say about that? If you don't like the kind of parent you are, change. The Word of God addresses that. If you can't sleep, well, what does the Word of God say about that? Put that on and change. Nobody's stuck being who they are. It doesn't matter how old you are. You can always change if you put on the Word of God, and it's available, and we should strive to do that. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Let's go to Matthew chapter 12. So we need to let the word of God dwell in us. You need to put it on in your brains and think about it a lot. You know how you see somebody that you think is cute and you can't stop thinking about them? And it's in your mind over and over and over again. Well, how important is God's word to you? That's what you should be thinking about. Not that there's anything wrong with looking at a girl or a guy, but the word of God should be in our brains and we need to think about it. We have to be active. I'm sorry to say, But being a believer is not really, you can't really approach being a believer by being lazy. It actually takes work. You have to put the word on. You have to study. You have to change your mind. That's on you. And if you don't like the condition that you're in, whose fault is it? Yeah, but you could change. You could do this. It's wonderful. I'm trying to yell at you. Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. God's just so kind. You don't need to have a million verses. Just try one. Start small and build from there. 12:34. O generations of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. What are we talking about? Pay attention to what you're talking about. Are we speaking about the word, about how wonderful God is, all the wonderful things God has done for us? And I know we do. I hear it. I talk to you guys. Look, I'm not at all trying to make light of the situations and the things that we battle day in and day out. I'm not trying to make light of that at all. I'm not saying that situations don't hurt, bruise you, or even seem like they break you. That any of us had to go through a hard time, that any of us had to be in pain, that any of us had to suffer. That's not fun. But what I am saying is that God is a delivering God. And that whatever situation you're in, you're not alone. God hasn't left you or forsaken you. God's right there to take care of you. And he's giving you a word so that you can know what to think. And you can know what he will do for you in that situation. I don't know what some of you guys have been through. I know that it's life. And I know that life isn't always easy. But I do know that our God is good. And that his word is true. And that he will deliver no matter what situation you find yourself in. But one thing that we have to do is really honestly answer, do we believe that God's word is his will? You know, it's easy to say yes, and I do believe that, and I know you guys do, but do you really believe that God's word is his will? Do you believe that he can bring his word to pass? That his word is healing? And that word is a balm, and that it seeps into the areas of your life that ail you. Well, it is true. God's word is his will, and he will bring his word to pass. And God is also greater than your heart. Let's go to 1 John, please. Let's get to the point that we hold God, his word, and his power over how we feel and the stuff that we go through and the stuff that we've been through. We can't spend the next 20 years of our life thinking about the past 10 years that are gone already. Enjoy what you have now. And what do you expect from life with God? What do you want from your life with God? Only you can answer that question. 1 John chapter 3. I am not there. One second. Am I making sense?
Yes.
Good. 1 John 3:2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. No, that's not what I wanted.
One.
Oh, I forgot a zero? Oh, no. Yes. I really did forget a zero. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. If your heart condemns you, God is greater than your heart. We just can't let our feelings and our emotions take over our lives. We have to control them. Another thing for us to control. Psalm 119, please. Oh, gosh. God's just incredibly kind. He's so patient. Like, all this stuff is in the Word because he knew, you know, how funny we are. We need help. And he sent us his word. Thank God we can refer back to it over and over again. Verse 10, please. Psalm 119, verse 10. With my whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. The word of God is what we need to hide in our hearts. It should be the most valuable thing that we have. The word of God should be hidden in our hearts. 1 Timothy chapter 4. The fight in this life is what words are we going to entertain and what words are we going to hold on to? The mean, cruel words you whisper to yourself when no one's around needs to be replaced with the word of God. You heard me? The mean, cruel words that you whisper to yourself when no one is around needs to be replaced with the word of God. Be a little nicer to yourself and give yourself the word. Where did I say to go?
1 Timothy 4.
Yes, it's 1 Timothy 4. 1 Timothy 4. Verse 15. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Meditate upon these things. Take heed unto yourself. When you meditate, you submerge yourself in it. You occupy yourself with it. You keep bringing the word of God back to your brain. It's not that hard. It just takes diligence. You want to think about God, right? So you just bring that thought to mind. God is love, right? That's an easy one. God is love. I have to go food shopping. God is love. My kids need this. God is love. The situation seems bad. God is love. You have to just keep bringing it back because there are always going to be competing words. It's the fight of our lives. But you have to make the decision on what you're going to think. Psalm 119, please. Psalm 119. And there are going to be days that are harder than others. There are going to be days that it's just a fight to even bring your mind to think about God. And there are going to be days where you just feel victorious because you did a good job. That's just life. You continue to do it. Psalm 119, verse 97. Psalm 119, verse 97. This should be our heart. Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all day. That should be our heart. Our heart should be, I want to be my best for God. I want to make sure that my brain is thinking God's word because I love God. Hold on. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And we saw how Bob shared how wonderful and how big our God is and what he can do for us. The mighty hand of God. That's our God. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Does it say every other thought? Some of the thoughts that you kind of want to hold on to. Every thought. You are to bring every thought down to the obedience of Christ. Ephesians chapter 6. How important is it that you dwell on God to you? You make time for the things that are important to you, right? We can't put God on the back shelf until you have time to finally get some word in. After all the things that you need to accomplish, you need to add God into everything that you do, and what you need to accomplish becomes a lot easier. Ephesians chapter 6, right? We also have to remember, I'm sorry, in 2 Corinthians, you don't have to move, but in 2 Corinthians it says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war in the flesh. And in Ephesians chapter 6, I'm not there. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, it says here, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." We cannot go 5 cents knowledge-wise and have an answer 5 cents knowledge-wise to spiritual things. We can't. This is a spiritual warfare. It might look like things are in our 5 senses, but we can't approach it that way, because it'll only just maybe hold like a little Band-Aid on it and maybe work a little bit. But you have to remember that it's spiritual. You need a spiritual answer to spiritual problems. You can't go by your senses at all. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 26. But it's very easy. I mean, you see it, you touch it, it's around you, it's loud. Problems can overtake things because it's just so much. But remember, things are spiritual. You need spiritual solution for a spiritual problem, which is the word of God. Isaiah chapter 26. Isaiah 26, verse 3. An oldie but a goodie. I think this was Naomi's first written memory. Yeah, it was. "Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee." And I would say, because he trusteth in thee. We are, let me finish reading. "Trust in the Lord forever, and in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting life." A stayed mind is a peaceful mind. I'm not saying that a stayed mind only happens when there's smooth jazz playing in the back and you have a candle lit. But a stayed mind is a mind who stays on God's word. You stay put. Why are you able to do that? Because we trust in him. A little reminder here. You are never too messed up for God. You're never too hurt for God. Our responsibility is to dwell on God and his word, and he will deliver. He will bring it to pass. No one can force you to think God's word. It's up to you how much and when you plan on doing it. It's up to you. No one can force you. The word of God is still healing and powerful, whether we decide to believe it or not. Let's go to Philippians chapter 4. I have no idea when I started, but I'm almost done here. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. I think this is an awesome verse. "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things." We have a lovely, pure, wonderful, powerful, healing word. Think on those things. So a quick recap. The kinds of words that we're to dwell on are the words that are quick and powerful and healing. And I'm not kidding. If there's an area of your life that you need deliverance or healing or just to get better at, that's stopping you from being your very best for God, the word of God is a healing balm. Put it on and let it seep in and let it do what God wants it to accomplish, because he'll bring his word to pass. We decide what we want to dwell on. The more we dwell on God's word and put it on in our brains, the more it will seep down to our hearts. And you'll have this little reserve to be able to pull from. And maybe your reaction when something happens is a little slower to be 5 cents knowledge-wise and a little quicker to pull God's word out. That's great. And it's baby steps. We'll grow and you'll get better at it. But you got to start somewhere. You got to start by that one thought. You want to change your life? Change what you're thinking. If you want good things in your life, think God's word. So that's what I wanted to share.